This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. I want to say one quick word. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Jerry and I and Lauren have felt them this week. Our routine has been a lot different this week, and just continue to pray, please. We're going to change things up this morning. We're going to have everyone stand this morning and sing our call to worship. God is so good, and He is good to us, that's for sure. Let's stand and let's worship together.
God is good, and all the time. Amen to that. We greet you this morning in none other than the one and only name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Christ. And we especially extend that welcome to any of you who are visiting with us today. We want to encourage you that if you've not done so in the past, fill out a visitor card and place those in the offering plate today so that we can get to know one another better. A couple of reminders. You see that we do not have a choir today. About half of the ladies of the choir, along with several others from the church, are gone this weekend to the Women of Joy Conference in Myrtle Beach, and they've been posting pictures of worship with Jeremy Camp and got to meet, Margaret Feinstein. So they've been having a grand and wonderful time. Continue to pray for them as they wrap that up today and make their way back here to Elon. They should be getting back sometime around 5 or 6 this evening. But what a blessing it is for them to have that opportunity for spiritual refreshment. And we hope that we will benefit from that as well as they come back and share. I also want to remind you that Reading Day is this Wednesday. You'll see information about that in the pink sheets, the salmon sheets. There's a sign up for food in the fellowship hall. If you have not signed up to bring something or to drop something off, you can still do that. If you'd like to stay for a while and help monitor the church during that time, you're invited to do that as well. Talk to Debbie Wall about how you might be able to help in any way with Reading Day this Wednesday. But be in prayer for the students of Elon as well as they study and prepare. You may remember, maybe it's a distance memory, maybe it's a current memory, but you know how stressful that time can be of testing and examination. We want to lift them up as they continue to make their way towards exams. Today, as we worship, there is a theme of fellowship as we think about how sweet it is to be together with one another. Some of you are here for the first time in many weeks. You've been kept away because of illness, physical problems, or maybe just because of work or family demands, and you know how it is to miss it and to be in that fellowship. Some of you who are choir members, you've not had the opportunity to sit out with family or friends, and you're rejoicing in that today as well as you celebrate being able to just be with the people that you love. But it is a sweet thing to be in the fellowship of the Spirit and to be in the fellowship of the body of Christ. Let us continue to worship in that sweet, sweet Spirit.
Good morning.
Yeah. Do you have it on?
Good morning. My name is Sophia. I'll be reading Matthew 18, 18 through 20. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agreed about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them.
Father, as you expressed in Scripture, where two or more are gathered in His name, He is with us, and He is with us this morning. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we gather here in your home, your house, it's not our house, it's your house. As we gather here this morning, we feel your presence with us. The Spirit is moving among us through the individuals we sit beside, through the anticipation of coming to worship this morning. The Spirit is moving through the Scripture reading and the prayers and the time of reflection, the time of singing. Father God, as we gather here and that Spirit moves in us, we know we will not leave the same. We will be changed. And Father, that is why we have gathered here. We lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus the Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, How Great is Our God. Please stand.
Splendor.
Bible says that where there is no vision, the people will perish. And over the last several months, we have come together as a congregation in a lot of different ways, both large groups and small groups, to hash out and seek together God's vision for our congregation to lead us forward in the year to come. And we have expressed that vision, and you see it in your bulletin every Sunday for the last several months. We are a congregation striving for spiritual renewal as together in unity, we seek God's vision for our church. That is a statement of faith, that we are seeking God's spiritual renewal and his building of unity in his church. But the Bible also says that faith without works is what? Dead. So now, as we continue in this process, we are transitioning from the abstract to the practical, to the specifics, to the details, to the actions. And as we do so, we want to hear from every member of the congregation again. We're planning, the discovery team is planning a one-day all-church, church-wide retreat to look at practical ways that this vision can impact the ministries, the programs, and the ministry teams of our church. So there is certainly a need to hear from you. And what we decided to do this time, because a lot of folks said, well, Saturdays were bad, and some folks say, well, Sundays would be a bad day, or the timing wasn't quite right. We put down on a sheet of paper in your bulletin, labeled Vision Process. It's a yellow piece of paper, and the Simba gives you a little bit of introductory there. I shared most of that just now, but we want you to check one or two of these dates, times. They're not dates, but days, like Saturday or Sunday or times. Think about those and which one would best fit in your schedule. Which one would you most like to see us hold a day retreat? In other words, which one would you actually physically come to? And if there's one or two on these that you know you would absolutely not come if it was on that day and at that time, mark that completely off. We want to visibly see that as well. We want you to do that right now. There's pencils on the back of the pews in front of you. If you'll take just a moment during our children's time and as they're coming, just look at those days and those times. And when the offering plate comes around this morning, we want to just ask you to fold this up a couple of times and place that in the offering plate today. We don't want you to leave here. A lot of times when surveys leave, they never come back. So we want you to fill it out right now and be ready to place that in the offering plate when it comes past you this morning.
Did y'all know that? That why they're pink? Because they like to eat shrimp. I didn't know that till Miss Amy told me that this morning. Well, flamingos are very social birds. They like to hang out in packs of thousands. And they swing. I didn't tell them about too good. No. So then when he comes out, flamingos like to hang out in packs, like thousands. And when they take off, they don't take off like normal birds. They have to get a running start with these long legs, and then their neck stretches out, and then their legs go like this. So they're kind of flying like this, and their legs are behind them. Well, we kind of like flamingos. Did y'all know that? We like to be social too, don't we? Now, crows are very social birds too. That's a crow. Y'all see, did anybody have crows in the yard?
I don't.
You did? Well, I came home one day when I left to go home let my dogs out. I drove up to my yard and there must have been 1,000 crows in my yard. And I blew the horn and get them out because I didn't want them in my yard. But crows are very social birds too. They like to be in flocks of thousands. But they like to be, you know where they like to sleep? In the top of trees.
And
then they make a mess. They special, yeah, all birds are special. Okay, now, we're all like these flamingos and crows. We need to be very social. And what Mr. Mason's going to talk about today, in Acts 2:44, it tells us this. Let me find the scripture here. Okay, in the Bible it says in Acts 2:44, it tells us, we all who believe, we're together and all have all things in common. It says when we're all together, we have the opportunity to be helpful to each other. And we learn how to live in the world. And also in Acts 2:46, it says that one accord in the temple, breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and single heart. In other words, it's telling us that, you know, we come together once a quarter, and we have communion together, we break bread together here in the sanctuary. Well, we need to go in our homes, and we need to do that together. We need to share meals together in our homes. And when we have fellowship together in our church, we need to gather together and fellowship together as a body, as a church body, and fellowship together, and love one another, and share together as one body in Christ. Okay? Do y'all go to anybody's house and play? You do? sometimes, Luke, or do you have people come to your house and play together and share? Do you, Levi? You go to people's house and play? Well, good. That's what, yes, Luke. Up, Lincoln.
Hi. And sometimes my grandma makes food for us, and we get to share it, and I call everyone in my family.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to share with one another and love each other. Let's pray. Okay. Yes, Levi.
I share with my son, me, and my sister, and my grandma and papa.
That's good. That's so sweet. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Let's pray. Let's make it up. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can come into your house and we can love each other and share with one another. Help us to be good disciples and do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Our auditorium hymn this morning is hymn number 14, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Let's stand.
Father, we come here to praise you. We praise you for all the things that you do for us, for the blessings that you bestow upon us. And Father, this morning we return a portion of those blessings so that you could build your kingdom, not just within these walls, but outside these walls. May these offerings be pleasing to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
you hear now again the word of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, the word of the Lord. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing. For those who desire life and desire to see good days, let them keep their tongues from evil and their lips from speaking deceit. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Let them seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, we pause to consider ourselves before you. Are we people who speak evil and hate? Or are we people who speak blessing and love? Do we dwell on the good or on the bad? Are we positive and encouraging or negative and critical? Are we encouragers or naysayers? Do we pull people down or do we build them up? Help us to be in accordance to your word, O Lord, to be the ones who bring good news and blessing, hope and life, love and light, and everlasting joy, so that all around us might be warmed by your Spirit dwelling within us. This is our prayer, Lord, for there are so many, many in our world and in our communities, even here within our own church, who need the warmth of your Spirit around them. We pray for them today, those who are sick and broken, hurting and alone, those who are shut in, those who are grieving, those who are trying to walk alone and find they cannot make their way, those who have lost their job, those who have lost their hope and their will to live. For all of them, Lord, we speak. We ask again, may your light shine upon those who walked in darkness, in the land of deep darkness. In the name of Jesus the Christ, this is our prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
Think for a moment about the way you greet people around you on a daily basis. People say hello in a lot of different ways. Some people say hi. Some people say hey. Some people say hey is for horses. Some people say howdy. That's what my uncle always says. Some people say hiya. Some people say hey y'all. A lot of different ways to say hello. Some people will say I see you. Some people in church settings will say the Lord be with you, and response would be and also with you, or the peace be with you, and the response be and also with you. Would you turn to someone near you this morning and simply greet them in the name of the Lord? Let us pray together. It is with glad hearts, O God, that we come before your word. May it overpower us and shape us, molding us, for we are but clay in the master's hand. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Picture the scene. It is Sunday morning. There is a man sitting on the edge of the bed, one sock on and one sock off. He is sitting there when his wife bursts into the room and says, "Honey, what are you doing? We're going to be late for church." And he says, "I'm not going to church today." "Why not?" she asks. "Why don't you want to go to church?" He responds, "Because all those people are stuck up and snobby, and they're rude to me. And to be honest, I don't think they like me, and I don't like most of them either." He says, "Give me one good reason to go to church today." She said, "I'll give you two. Number one, it's the Lord's Day, and we go to church. And number two, you're the pastor." Have you ever been in a church that just made you feel like you couldn't wait to get out? Have you ever experienced a congregation or a place of worship where it was very cold and closed, and people just seemed like they were looking down at you, down across their nose, and no one was really smiling or saying hello? I went to a church once where not one single person spoke to me as a visitor. Not one. I'm thankful that that's not the sermon for you. We don't really have to worry about that. People come to our church and continually reaffirm how warm and welcoming and how nice you Baptists are. Good. But there are churches out there. When I was a kid, I was involved in three different churches. And one of those, see, I don't get to have to name it if I put three out there. But one of those was full of some of the snobbiest, coldest people you could imagine. They were all just a bunch of better-than-you rich folk. And they didn't greet people. They didn't welcome you. They didn't speak to each other in the hallways. In fact, there were four or five members of that church that every time someone came forward to join, they voted no. Can you imagine that? I'm not making this up. Churches like that have a problem, and it's hard to go into that situation or that setting and feel connected. It's hard to experience unity and fellowship in a place like that. If you are in a place in your life where you feel like on a regular basis you are not experiencing true koinonia, that New Testament understanding of spirit-connected fellowship, if you're saying that you're not experiencing that on a regular basis, then there's one of three things going on in your life. It could be that you have found yourself in a toxic church. Have you ever heard that description, toxic people? Toxic people are all around us. They latch on to us. Toxic people are those people who are always on the negative, always critical. They're always complaining. The glass is never half full, it's always half empty. Things are always woe is me and terrible and bad, and they latch on to us and they yap that into our ear. And if we allow toxic people to do that long enough, it becomes like a sour marinade. We cannot help but absorb some of that toxicity into our own lives, and if we're not careful, we become toxic ourselves. Now, as I said, I don't think that we are in danger of this, but maybe we are. But there are churches out there that are full of toxic people. And it could be, if you're not a member of this church or you're worshiping somewhere else, it could be that your church is a toxic situation, full of the negative and the naysayers and the grumblers and the backbiters and the gossips and the slanderers and all that, you know. I better stop there or I'll become a true Baptist preacher. I just want to pound that pulpit one time. But it could also be that you're in a church that's flourishing with loving, warm-hearted people who are good and friendly and who reach out to one another in their times of need and who are there for each other with casserole in hand and smile on face, and who, when they ask you in the hallway, how are you doing, they actually stop because they expect an honest answer. And yet you may still feel like you're not connected, that you're not in fellowship, that you're not experiencing koinonia or unity with the people. I have a saying in life: when it comes to toxic people, there is one in every family. And if you don't know who it is in your family, it just might be you. So it is also possible that while you're not in a toxic situation, you might actually be the toxic person. It takes a lot of self-awareness to discover this. One of the great downfalls of the modern disciple is a failure to be self-aware, to take inventory of oneself, your actions, your behaviors, your attitudes. It would do us all good to sit down every now and then and reflect on our life and our behavior. Do I say more encouraging things than than negative things? Do I build people up, or do I find myself being the one who's always complaining? Am I the yay vote or the nay vote when it comes to meeting new people and making friendships? Every believer runs the risk of being a toxic person. And if we are, we will not experience unity because we push people away. We will not experience intimacy because we really don't want it. There's a guardedness. I'm convinced, by the way, and I base this on real conversations with people who join mega churches, that one of the number one driving factors in their desire to be a part of a 2,000, 3,000 member church is because there's that self-defense of anonymity. I don't have to be known. I don't have to know these folks. I can go every Sunday and never sit beside the same person. That's not true of everybody there, but it is for some a reality. But there is a third factor that is far more common. It's less likely that you are a toxic person than it is that you fall under this third possibility of why you may not be experiencing unity and fellowship. We have but to look at our Acts passage to find the golden standard of fellowship. This is every pastor in the world's go-to sermon text when they want to talk about unity and fellowship. We know that it is the description of the first church, Acts chapter 2. We come to it in verse 43. It says that all came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. People were attracted by the charisma and the work of the Spirit through the apostles. They were drawn to this. They wanted to be around these spiritual leaders. They wanted to hear what they were saying and see what they were doing. There was an excitement, an awe to the first group of believers. In verse 44, it says, all who believed were together and had all things in common. That's a tough standard, isn't it? To have everything in common with each other. I always joke that if you have three Baptists in the room, you will have five opinions about how to get something done. I was in awe myself when we were doing Experiencing God together, and Henry Blackaby said that his church does not make a decision without 100% agreement. I don't know about you, but I can't even get 100% agreement in my own family about what to have for lunch today, much less how to set a budget or a focus or a vision for the year. But he says here that everybody had everything in common. They were together. And listen to this in verse 45. Listen to what these communists are up to. It says that they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Groups that do this kind of thing today are automatically suspicious, aren't they? They're a cult. What are they doing? Could imagine if your child went off and joined some group and sold the car that you bought for them and all of their possessions and cashed in the jewelry that they had and sold their phone and their TV and their game station and everything and joined this group that was all living together in one house. You would be on the road. As we say in Columbus County, do I need to drive down there? But that's what they did. That sense of compulsion to be with one another and to care for each other. What's mine is yours. I will give everything to take care of you. They had it, brother. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. You see that their sense of unity and fellowship is contagious. Did you know that a spirit of unity is contagious? People out in the town know whether or not a church is a friendly church or not, don't they? There's a great little book that you're welcome to borrow. It's very small. You can read it in a minute. It's called BFF, Best Friends Forever. And it's about friendonomics. Why don't you say that word one time? Friendonomics in church life. And one of the things that they discovered, and this is a group production, in preparing and researching for this little book about how to be friendly in church, is did you know that every church believes that they are friendly? Not one church polled believed for a minute that they were unfriendly. But how many of you have ever been in an unfriendly church? It's kind of like the comedian Jim Gaffigan, who says that nobody he knows goes to McDonald's, and yet McDonald's serves some 6 billion people a day. Somebody's lying. Or they have a distorted reality that we all want to be friendly and think we're friendly, but when we really are, the world notices. They notice. And there's a gravity that creates that pulls people in, and they want to be a part of it. They want to at least know what's going on over there with those happy folk. And so that's why we get that day by day, people are becoming aware. They have the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. This is a picture-perfect model of fellowship, spirit fellowship, koinonia, where they are bound together. But we're given some clues in those verses about how this came about what produces this. But the question remains, as I often say, what's causing all this fellowship? Well, back up and consider what's just happened in the life of the community. First and foremost, it's Pentecost, and they have just received what? The Holy Spirit. They got the Spirit. That's the starting point of all of this. That if we do not have the Spirit, I don't mean that we haven't been baptized or that we haven't joined a church or that we haven't even prayed for salvation and been forgiven for all of our sins. But yet, without the Spirit, there is no unity. There is no fellowship. He is the one that binds us together, that connects us. It is by, through, and with the Spirit that we really discover intimacy. Everybody says blood is thicker than water. The Bible says that there's something even thicker than blood, and it's the Spirit. It's a deeper level of relationship. It goes far beyond the genetic. And these folks have got it. They've received the Spirit, and it is the Spirit that is holding them together. If you don't have the Spirit in your life, if you're not in relationship with the Holy Spirit, then no, you're not experiencing fellowship. And church can seem like a pretty dull, lifeless place if you're not connected to the Spirit. They have it. It also tells us here that those who were welcomed this message or were baptized, and it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Those things right there tell us that not only do they have the Spirit, but they also have a Spirit-filled life. They are hungry for the Word of God, for the teachings of God. That drives them. They want to know more. They want to hear more. They want to experience more of God's truth. So they devote themselves to the study of God's Word. They don't just have a Sunday school class. They don't just get together. But they are digging into God's Word deeply, wrestling with it. Not only that, but it is telling us that they are breaking bread. I hope that you know that breaking bread is a euphemism for the Lord's Supper, for communion. They are worshiping together. They are studying God's Word. They are worshiping together. They are breaking the bread of communion together. The Spirit is binding them together in a communion with God, the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God that dwells within every other believer. And the prayers. They are praying together. If you get with a brother or sister in Christ and you grab their hand and you're standing there knocking knees and rubbing elbows together, praying down at the altar, praying in the Sunday school class, seeking the Spirit in prayer together, you cannot help but be bound to that person through heaven and earth. It binds them. So when we look at that third reality of why we may not be experiencing fellowship becomes so evident. But if we are not in relationship with God, how can we be in relationship with one another? It's very clear. If we are not in relationship with God, how can we expect to be in relationship with one another? And if we are in relationship with God together, then we are experiencing true koinonia. Ask yourself this week, I want to give you an assignment. Who are you sticking with? I want you to get sticky this week. I want you to think of someone and find someone to connect with, to go out to lunch, to invite over to your house for tea or coffee, to go out and sit down with them at some point and just get to know them. Not someone that you already know, but someone that you are realizing God is putting this person in your life more and more. Maybe you found yourself sitting together in worship, but you don't really know each other that well yet. Or maybe you find yourself bumping into each other around town, and you don't really know each other, but you say hi and you speak and how's the weather. But you feel like maybe God is bringing you together with that person. Get sticky with them. Stick together. Spend some time together this week. And keep doing that until you are stuck on every member of this church. And that, brothers and sisters, is koinonia. Would you pray with me? God, it is good to be in the house with brothers and sisters who are filled with love in the Spirit and who want to spend time with one another. What a blessing it is when the door is open at 12, but people do not rush out the door. They linger and stick with one another. What a blessing it is to see brothers and sisters gathered around the lunch table, laughing, being alive, and having life to the full together. This is the prayer for our church, O Lord, that we would continue to seek unity through fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you respond today to God's word as we sing what a beautiful hymn to close with? One, The Bond of Love, number 384 in your hymnals. We're going to sing together verse 1. Receive this blessing as we go. May the one who is love dwell in your heart, shining that love through you to all that you meet and greet. And may that love and hope be contagious to them. And may that light draw them home to the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.